So today's service is about here we go, where we go with the mission, where USG goes from here. Time for Ken and I to each share a little bit of our thoughts on this theme. And I'll start mine with a story. It's a story from my work as a hospital chaplain, which all students are required to do as they prepare for the Unitarian Universalist ministry. One day, doing the rounds on my oncology floor, I stopped to visit with an older woman who I'll call Doris. I introduced myself as a chaplain and asked if she'd be willing to chat for a few minutes. She agreed, so I came in and sat down. We talked a little about why she was in the hospital, and then I asked, as I do in that role, if she had a religious affiliation. It's a question that I had asked 100 times in that setting, but never gotten quite a response like I did from Doris. Because before the words religious affiliation had even passed my lips, Doris, who, as near as I could tell, was undrugged and clear-headed, launched into an angry, passionate, bitter attack on religion and the religious schooling of her childhood. Now, there is a great tendency in our conflict-avoidant society to run from or to suppress such strong emotions like that. I mean, she had been holding these in her entire life. She was an older woman at this time. But it's the job of a chaplain to go there, to sit with the patient wherever they are, however painful it may be. And so I listened. I asked questions. She talked about fear. She asked me questions. We talked about theology. I spoke about love and my belief that we're not here to compete, but to collaborate. She didn't buy it. We talked about how much power her anger had over her and where it was coming from. I brought up forgiveness, but she was suspicious. I left her room with mixed emotions. I felt incredible pain and sadness for her suffering and for the suffering of all the people who have had religion do and still do horrible things to them. But I felt good and grateful about my Unitarian Universalist upbringing. I also felt like I wanted to visit Doris again, and a few days later, I had the opportunity. She had just received some bad news and immediately brought me right into that pain and angst with her. She was cursing life and cursing God. And so I sat with her. I let her know that I cared. But then I got an emergency page, and when that happens in a hospital, you have to go immediately. And so I said, "I'm sorry, Doris, I need to go, but I promise I'll come visit you again." But as I was leaving the room, she said, "Chaplain, wait, what church do you go to? I think I'd like to go there when I get out." And I thought to myself, wow, I did not see that coming. And nor was it my intention. And it's highly unethical for chaplains in an institutional setting to try and convert their patients. All I had done was just sort of be who I was and who Unitarian Universalism has made me. But what that made me realize is just how powerful religion is. It can make literally a lifetime of difference. It can mean so much whether we focus our lives on love or on fear. How much we embrace acceptance and affirmation of each other versus judgment and punishment. How much we see ourselves as autonomous individuals or how much we see ourselves as mutually tied to each other, inescapably tied to each other and to community. What we do here with each other, with this congregation, with our Unitarian Universalist religion is incredibly, incredibly important. Now, the description of this worship service points out that one of the standard definitions for transcendence, and that's our theme of the month here at USG for June, one of the standard definitions of transcendence is surpassing the usual limits. And so it seems to me that a good place to start that question is by identifying what some of our usual limits are. And I think that for us as Unitarian Universalists, and I think for most liberal religious people, one of our usual limits is that we tend not to take our faith that seriously. We don't take the power of our faith that seriously. Maybe it's because we don't want to seem like those fundamentalists who are always talking about their faith and speaking up everywhere, or maybe we feel like we don't want to push our faith on our family or our friends or people in our workplace, and so we kind of keep it bundled up a little bit. But whatever the reason that motivates it, I think we're not claiming our religion and the power that comes with it. And as I've thought about this over the years, I've had an experience that made me realize that maybe part of the problem is that we don't necessarily recognize that what we believe is a belief. And I want to tell you about the experience that helps me realize that more than any other. Now, I grew up as a Unitarian Universalist, and I don't even remember when I first learned about the first principle of our Unitarian Universalist Association, that all people have inherent worth and dignity. I don't remember not sort of knowing that. And then really, I don't remember not just kind of treating it as a fact. You know, it just seems so obviously true. Sure, everyone has inherent worth and dignity. Until I heard the Reverend William F. Schultz, a former president of the Unitarian Universalist Association and former executive director of Amnesty International, speak in a lecture called What Torture Taught Me. So in this lecture, Schultz describes the all-too-common use of torture across the globe and throughout history, at times going into horrifying detail that I will not hear. One of the central questions Schultz poses in this is, in what sense can we defend the notion that a torturer is a person of inherent worth and dignity? How is the worth and dignity of every person inherent? And his answer is clear. It's not. Speaking about death row inmates, torturers, and his own self, Schultz says, "I find no such characteristics as worth and dignity inherent in either them or me. Each of us has to be assigned worth. It doesn't come automatically." I wrestled with this for quite a while, and in the end, I had to agree. Saying that a person has inherent worth and dignity is not a statement of fact. It's a statement of values. It's a statement of belief. And friends, those are not beliefs or values that everyone in this world shares. So in order for a person to have worth and dignity, it must be assigned. It must be affirmed with both word and deed. And so if we really have this belief, that everyone has worth and dignity. If we want to take it seriously, then we must act to support it. It does not exist on its own. And for me, this realization was a little humbling. I think I have tended to see a real fervor of belief as something that folks who are more fundamentalist have, or who have a different kind of faith than me. But what I realized is that if I truly believe that people have worth and dignity, I need to do something about it. It's not enough just to rest on that. And you know, that is really good belief. That is words to live by. And the words that keep echoing my mind are ones that I heard from another patient at the hospital during my end of chaplaincy, who's a former Methodist minister. And as we were talking about faith and belief and action, he said these words, which continue to just haunt me and move me. He said, "If you believe something, have the courage to live it. If you believe something, have the courage to live it." It's a good challenge, isn't it? Before I go on, I just want to step back and just acknowledge that I am now saying goodbye to you. It's been an amazing ride in this last year as your consulting minister. It has been so rewarding for me to be here, to get to know all of you, or at least many of you. You have been incredibly warm and thoughtful and welcoming. And you know, when you're a temporary part-timer, you can't assume that that's going to happen with a congregation or with any job. But you have really, as Kent said you would, made me feel welcome and part of the team here. Working with the staff has been amazing, the lay leaders in various programs. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank Reverend Kent, my longtime friend and mentor, for bringing me here. Kent, you have pushed me when I needed it and been flexible when I needed it, but always made me feel like a part of the team here at USG. So thank you so much. And in preparation for today, I looked at some of my themes and what I want to, the themes of my sermons here, and what I want to leave you with is actually a theme that has come up recently from so many of the volunteers that have been recognized here from this pulpit, and you'll hear from a couple more today. And that's the theme that the more you put into this faith, the more that you put into this congregation, the more you're going to get out of it. The more honest and vulnerable you are in your small group ministry, the more you're going to get that back as other people open up and connections, transformation happens that you didn't think possible. The more you dedicate yourself to justice, to our new commitments on education and the environment, the more you're going to feel alive and connected to the world outside these doors. The investment pays off. And so my final words to you, my final plea, my final prayer is that you as individuals and you as an amazing congregation, claim your beliefs and your power even more. Surpass the usual limits. Be bold. Because of your history and demographics, this congregation, the Unitarian Society of Germantown, is in a very unique place among UU congregations, meaning that you have a real good shot at becoming a truly multicultural, multi-generational congregation. The community around here is ready for it. The city of Philadelphia is ready for it. Unitarian Universalism is ready for it. Why don't you show us how it's done? Show us what you can do in this congregation and in this community. Show us what it means to be warm and welcoming for all people. There are thousands of Dorises of all ages and genders and cultures and sexual orientations within just a few miles of this congregation. Go out to them. Go out to the world. Let this congregation be a beacon of liberal religion and saving faith for this community and for this world. And so I say to you, take the USG mission seriously, take our faith seriously, take your beliefs seriously, and have the courage to live them. Amen.